unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Let's do that hockey, y'all. Let's do that hockey. What's going on, everybody? Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airways of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Plus, if you want to send in your voicemail messages, obviously, you could always go to SiriusXM.com/GetSirius to send in your voicemail messages. Again, that's SiriusXM.com/GetSirius. To send in your voicemail messages. This is a special day for the United States of America. It's a special day for me as well because my godson, my man Nicholas, is listening to me right now. My man Nicholas Brown out in L.A. and all of that stuff, doing big things, bowling, knocking, you know, knocking them pins down, stuff like that. He in the car with his parents, one of my boys, Jeff Brown, and his wonderful wife, the Queen, Nina. They listening to me right now, testing my stuff with my hockey, because I'll be damned if I know anything about hockey. Let me be very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen. Only thing I know about hockey is that it's played on ice, that the puck is black, and that my man Gary Bettman, the commissioner, has had me to at the last, you know, two of the last three Stanley Cup finals. That's all I know. That's all I know. But you know what? It's moments in American history, all right, that you just hold on to it because, again, it doesn't matter how deep your knowledge is of the sport. It's your appreciation for moments like what we were given last night that reminds you of the greatness of America, of the greatness of sports, what's brought to the table and how it ultimately affects you. We saw Jack Hughes, all right, go 141 into the 3-on-3 overtime, delivers a 2-1 victory for the United States over Canada, delivering for Team USA, the United States of America, its third men's hockey gold medal. And the first time it's happened since 1980. That's 46 years for those of y'all that can't count. It's 46 years. And Hughes scored the game winner, bloodied with a tooth missing after a high stick he received in the third period. And somehow, some way, the brother didn't miss a minute. He didn't miss a second. He didn't leave. He said it's a gold medal on the line, damn it. It's a championship on the line. This is what it's all about. You know, as Dabo Sweeney once said when he was coaching Clemson to a national championship, bring your own guts, baby. Bring your own guts. That's what Jack Hughes did yesterday, okay? Because a lot of cats that get hit with the high stick, all right, got a tooth knocked out, bloodied, and all of that other stuff, looking like Count Dracula. I mean, they don't give a damn. You got to find a way to make things happen. You got to find a way to overcome adversity in these kind of situations with a gold medal on the line. And that's exactly what Jack Hughes did. Obviously, the brother's big time. You see him with the Devils. You know what he can bring to the table. You understand that. But in the end, you still sit up there and you hold on to these moments and you say to yourself, damn, this was really, really special. I got to give love and respect where it's due. Hughes, elite speed, transition driver. This is what he brings. You knew he was bringing this to Team USA, but you knew they were going to need more. They were going to need more from U.S. captain and center, Auston Matthews. They're going to need more from Matthew Tkachuk. You knew you was going to need something from him, okay, because he's the physical tone setter. You was going to need all of that. You was going to need defenseman Adam Fox. You know what? They call him an elite puck mover. I'm reading from my notes here because, damn it, I don't know hockey. You know what I'm saying? I have to watch. I have to look at the highlights. I have to sit up there and watch the game. I have to watch the moments. But the moment, I don't give a damn how much you know. When you saw Team USA, when you saw Hughes make that goal and you saw the celebration, you can't deny that it just gave you goosebumps. It really, really did. This is what it's all about. This is what makes it special. Defenseman, Charlie McAvoy. You got goaltender, Hellebuck. I mean, 41 of 42 shots this man denied. 41 of 42 shots. Gold medal record. Gold medal record. Now, this is not a scrub. This is not a scrub that we're talking about here. And Hellebuck, we know what he can bring to the table. We know what he can bring to the table. He's the NHL's reigning league MVP. He's a three-time Vezina trophy winner, okay, for the NHL's top goalie, including the last two such awards, okay? The man's no scrub, but remember when he went against, when he was in the Four Nations last year, okay? Remember what happened with that, okay? And you remember how he gave up the winning goal, and obviously that was something that gave people an excuse to look back at him and have question marks about him and just dog him, okay, and act like the brother wasn't worth it. But he showed yesterday. You understand? And he showed Team USA, because remember, they shook all of that criticism off, all of that skepticism off about Hellebuck. And what did they do? They named him the starter for the 2026 Olympics, and the man answered the call. Now, based on the things that I've been told, even though it exists in football, even though it exists in basketball, even though to some degree it exists in baseball and all of this other stuff, hockey, more so than most sports, that team chemistry, that camaraderie, that brotherhood, come shining through. You got to really, really rely on one another. You understand? You got to believe in one another. You got to uplift one another. You got to inspire and motivate one another. And that's what happens in hockey. And then I'm thinking about this. Team USA went 18 for 18 on penalty kills in this tournament. They need to win six games. 18 for 18 on penalty kills. There was a 93-second period in yesterday's game where Canada had a 5-on-3 power play advantage and couldn't score. You outmanned them by two, and the Americans still killed off the 93-second 5-on-3 power play. Think about that. You're in a basketball court, because that's my lane. You're on the football field. All right, I know something about that. And it's 11 versus 9. On the basketball court, it's 5 against 3. And still, they can't score. That is what Team USA, that is what the United States of America, that is what the red, white, and blue did against Canada yesterday. It's phenomenal. What, it's just absolutely positively phenomenal. And then we got to go on this from an historical perspective, okay? Canada had won 15 consecutive games in best-on-best Olympics, okay? For those of you, okay, remember what best-on-best means. In hockey, that means that each country is using its absolute top players available, which, by the way, includes NHL stars, rather than second-tier or substitute rosters. So it's the full national team rosters. That is what best-on-best means. Canada had won 15 consecutive games in best-on-best Olympics since losing to the United States in a round robin in 2010. And we all know about Sidney Crosby's golden goal at the Vancouver Olympics, right? How that stuff still hurts. But nevertheless, Team USA won. Snapping Team Canada's incredible run. Canada won gold Olympic gold. Just a reminder, they won Olympic gold at Vancouver in 2010. In Sochi in 2014, at the World Cup of Hockey in 2016, and the Four Nations last year. This is the level of dominance that Canada was exhibiting, particularly against Team USA. But it wasn't working yesterday. It didn't work yesterday. Uh-uh. And it gave us a lot to be proud of. Jack Hughes, obviously, who gave us the winning goal, he spoke about this yesterday. Listen to this man. After United States brought home the gold yesterday. Check him out.
Overtime, anything can happen. I mean, they have very skilled players. We have very skilled players. It's just up and down the rink, you know, kind of like a little grudge match, like who's going to make the first mistake, who's going to give up the first odd man rush, and just a good play by Larks and Z getting up the ice, and then obviously Z found me.
Let's go to head coach Mike Sullivan and hear what he had to say in the aftermath of USA winning, bringing home the gold. Coach for Team USA, let's listen to what he had to say.
He was a hero tonight for our team, without a doubt. He made a lot of timely saves throughout the course of the game. He was part of the foundation of this group from the get-go, dating back to the Four Nations and throughout the course of this tournament. You know, just a high-stakes player in a high-stakes environment. You know, I think that's when players build their legacy, and Connor certainly did that tonight.
See, I love all of this. And by the way, this is the Vezina Trophy. Forgive my mispronunciation. I apologize. Thank you to my producer for reminding me. Appreciate that, Griff. Here's the bottom line, y'all. Rivalries are what makes sports go round. It's what has our hair standing up on our skin. It's what has us enthused and energized, looking forward to it. And the reality of the situation over the last 15 years, because of Canada's dominance, hasn't been much of a rivalry. Now, coming into this in the international rankings, if you remember, United States was ranked number one. I think it was Switzerland and Canada that was 2 and 3, respectively. But coming into the gold medal game, it was a pick 'em. It could have gone either way, and we learned that by overtime, and we got that. As it pertains to those who are complaining about the three-on-three rules, I don't give a damn about that. You know, as the coach for Canada said, and do we have that sound, Sean? Because I want to hear, I want to credit the coach for Canada because he was taking a lot of heat because he was perceived as griping coming into the gold medal game about three-on-three competition and all of that stuff. But he didn't sound like that post-game because the bottom line is everybody knows what the rules is. Everybody knows what the rules are coming into it. Coming into the tournament. So if you know what the rules are and everybody has to play by the same rules, you don't get to bitch and moan about the outcome just because you don't like or get to bitch about the rules because you don't like the outcome. Let's keep that in mind right here. But let's listen to the coach for Canada talking post-game about their loss. I thought it was a very, very classy performance on his part. Take it away, man.
Listen, the game is 60 minutes long and it should end. And all the teams know the rules going into these beforehand. So you can't come up here and say, oh, we're the losing team because we lost three in a three-on-three, that's not fair. We knew the rules coming in. We won a game in this tournament three-on-three. So that's not the way it is. Is it the traditionalists want it a certain way? I'm sure they do. But there's a lot more that goes into this than dragging out. You know, I've been a part of a five-overtime game in Stanley Cup playoffs, and, you know, I don't think people want to watch hockey for 6.5 hours, but we all get it. We got the rules, and whether you like it or not, you have to abide by them. And you know, we were on the short end of the stick.
That's a classy soliloquy. I think it was our John Cooper, the coach for Team Canada. Props to him for taking the position that he took. You know, you lost fair and square. That's really what this comes down to. Just a couple of notes here to point out there. It's a rivalry now. I think we can legitimately say that between Canada and the United States of America. Team Canada and Canada's men's rivalry, for the most part, has been extremely lopsided over the last several years. Since the NHL started sending players to the Olympics in 1998, Canada won Olympic gold again in Salt Lake City against Team USA in 2002. The Canadians famously beat the United States in 2010 in Vancouver, like I pointed out on Crosby's Golden Gold in overtime. They sent the U.S. to the bronze medal game in Sochi in 2014. They won the World Cup of Hockey in 2016, where the U.S. was a complete non-factor. They won the Four Nations face-off in 2025 on Connor McDavid's Golden Goal in overtime as well. So all of those things got to be taken into consideration. So why did Team USA win? All right? You want to talk about elite goaltending? Hellebuck, then say no more. How about how fast they were in transition? All right? Because they took advantage. There's no question about that. Their speed and skill down the middle, that can't be ignored. Discipline, defensive zone coverage, you got to point that out too. I'm just listening to the coaches break it down and telling us why Team USA ended up winning the gold medal, and this is what it came down to. But in the end, what it really, really says about Team USA is that the rivalry is in place, and this is what we got to love about it, okay? But I want to get to this other point before I move on. It's been 46 years to the day of USA's Miracle on Ice victory over the Soviet Union in the 1980 Winter Olympics in Lake Placid, New York. The Soviet Union at the time was a four-time defending gold medalist and heavily favored. The United States and its team was made up of college kids. All right? So we got to take that into consideration as well when comparing the two. This doesn't quite measure up to that victory in 1980 because you had kids who took out a professional four-time gold medalist team in Russia. So we got to look at it from that standpoint. Now, that wasn't a gold medal game. Yesterday was a gold medal game. That wasn't a gold medal game. I understand that. But do you know that the average age of that U.S. team from 1980 was 21 years of age, making it the youngest team in U.S. history to play in the Olympics, in addition to being the youngest team in the 1980 Olympic tournament, period? We got to pay attention to that because the average age for this particular team that has obviously a lot of NHL players and all of that stuff, average age was about 28. That team from 1980 was 21. This was professionals going up against professionals, with the very best for Team USA going up against the very best for the NHL, even though Sidney Crosby was out. And with Sidney Crosby out, you got guys like my man PK Subban coming on the show to talk about that in just a few minutes. Can't wait to hear from him. I'm quite sure he'll point out about how Sidney Crosby, the Canadian team captain and two-time gold medalist, didn't play because he had a lower body injuries. You know, they say if he would have played, even though he's 38 years of age, you know what, it would have been a difference. They want to bring up how great he was in 2014. Well, it's 12 years later. I ain't trying to hear that. I ain't trying to hear that. Okay? They had enough horses, including Connor McDavid, on the ice. I don't want to hear that. But I also want to say this. We're always looking for an excuse to be proud as Americans. We're always looking for an excuse. Want to have something to hold our hat on. You understand? especially when we're underdogs, even though that wasn't necessarily the case in this particular game, when you consider Canada's dominance and the way Team USA responded, how its goalie stopped 41 of 42 shots, including a spectacular, you know, behind the back save that he registered in third period. I mean, it was just sensational performance, no doubt. And Hughes obviously did his thing along with the rest of them. But in the end, what it really, really comes down to is that Team USA answered the call. Women won gold, men won gold, and it was just, I mean, when you talk about the Winter Olympics, this is what you're looking for right here. This is what you're looking for. Major, major, major props to Team USA. Very, very proud. And PK Subban, he'll be on the, he'll be up on the show in a little while to talk about what transpired and what this means for hockey moving forward. I think it's a great, great thing. I think the combination of these Winter Olympics combined with the Four Nations tournament and stuff like that, I think hockey is just on the upswing. I mean, the momentum that they have built, we just can't ignore it. We really, really can't. The sport of hockey, or the National Hockey League, is just foremost in our minds. And I want to give them props, too, because that Four Nations tournament that they have, I think that lit a fire under the asses of the NFL, of the NBA All-Stars. You know, when you see this level of competition and the way they compete against one another and how they go out there and compete, they don't rob the fans. They don't rob the fans. They give it to you. When you see Hughes toothless with a bloody mouth going out there and scoring the winning goal without leaving the game for one damn second, that resonates. That resonates. Because when you get paid generational kind of money, you don't want to hear excuses. You don't want to hear excuses. We got cats. Listen, I watched Kansas get blown out on their own home court by Cincinnati over the weekend. And you know what I walked away with? I was like, damn, at least Darren Peterson played today. There's a college kid. A college kid. And the brother engaged in the load management already. You don't hear about this kind of stuff in hockey. The great Sidney Crosby wasn't available. You think somebody's questioning why he wasn't playing? Everybody knows if there was some way he could play, he would have played. Because you don't hear that about hockey players. You don't hear about them taking moments for granted. You just don't. You see the streets. You can see Team USA players carrying Jack Hughes on their shoulders. In the streets of Milan. I mean, think about that. It's just a special moment. No doubt about it. It's a special moment, and it just needs to be said. Paramount Plus celebrates Black History Month with the Black Voices Collection. You can stream stories of excellence like the series Watson, starring Morris Chestnut as a modern-day Dr. John Watson. He applies a specific type of deductive reasoning that he learned from his years working with the infamous detective Sherlock Holmes. And if you're feeling in the mood for stories of family and love, check out the David Oyelowo, led lawman Bass Reeves. You can also find David and Selma and Becoming King, both in the collection. And don't miss out on stories of community in Cedric the Entertainer's The Neighborhood and drama-filled The Chi. Explore series, movies, and more in the Black Voices Collection on Paramount Plus. Stream now. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Coming up, I'm going to get into a little NFL scouting combine a little bit later on in the show. Obviously, some NBA action with Boston whipping up on the Los Angeles Lakers, with the Pistons and Spurs scheduled to play tonight, with supremacy within the Eastern and the Western Conference supposedly being up for grabs in a lot of people's eyes. Cleveland losing a game to Oklahoma City without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams. All of those things are worth getting into. NFL scouting combine stuff we're getting into. College basketball with number one Michigan losing to number three Duke is worth getting into. And, of course, let me take a moment to give props to the great Pat Riley, who had a statue unveiled for him outside of Crypto.com Arena over the weekend. Pat Riley has won more than 500 games than he's lost in his 24-year coaching career. He's a five-time champion as a player. He's a three-time champion as an executive. He is the best-selling author of the book, The Winner Within, from many years ago. He's one of the greatest basketball minds to have ever lived. I love the fact that he brought up how coaches should be in suits. You're a leader. You should look like one. You should walk like one. You should talk like one. You should act like one. I love that from him. Because we know when it came to him, when it came to Larry Brown, when it came to the late, great Chuck Daly, who was obviously absolutely phenomenal, we know that coaches, I mean, style and grace with Pat Riley and his Armani suits and all that, that's what it's supposed to be. And it was fitting that his statue was in a suit. It was beautiful. But I want to say this, and I want to share this quick personal story. As you know, I wrote a book, Straight Shooter. Title of my book was Straight Shooter. Story of Second Chances and First Takes. It's a New York Times bestseller. I'm very, very proud of that. In the book, I wrote about Pat Riley. And I mentioned something that happened in 2009. I was let go by ESPN. My very, very last assignment was covering a playoff game between the Miami Heat and the Atlanta Hawks. And because I knew Dwayne Wade and a couple of players on the roster, I was going into the locker room to say goodbye because, you know, at the time you're getting let go by ESPN, and when you get let go, you don't know if or when you'll ever be back. If the worldwide leader tells you they don't want you anymore, chances are you're wondering who's going to want you at all. At least at the time, that was my mindset. Certainly wouldn't be the case now, but that was definitely my mindset back then. And I went in the locker room and I said goodbye, D-Wade and a couple other cats. And then I ran into Pat Riley as he was coming into the locker room. I believe I was departing from the locker room. And I went to him to shake his hand to say goodbye. And he refused to shake my hand. And at the moment, in this instant moment, I was embarrassed because I was very vulnerable at that particular moment in time, just feeling like, you know, my career, wondering whether or not it was over or whatever. And Pat Riley just stared at me without shaking my hand. He said, "I didn't shake your hand because you look defeated. You're not looking at this the way you're supposed to. This ain't the end for you. It's the start of a new chapter. It's the beginning of something new, bigger, and better. Come back to me when you get back, because you will be back. Shake my hand then." And he walked away. And I remembered that because in life we run across moments where something seems so down and it just seems demoralizing and you seem to have fallen into this mental and emotional abyss that you can't imagine uplifting yourself from. And Pat Riley's words to me at that particular moment in time meant so much to me and served as a motivational force for me, amongst other things, of course, but definitely that played a very significant role. And I've always and will always remain incredibly, incredibly grateful to him for that. It means the world to me. It still does and always will. Because in life, you never know what moments are going to hit you, moments of inspiration and motivation that takes you there. And I was very, very grateful for that. And last year, when I talked about the Heat and Pat Riley needing to step away, I want to remind folks, Miami is a marvelous, marvelous city. He's in his 80s. Don't know if he can recruit for the organization anymore the way that he used to because he's old school to the core. But I was never talking about him stepping down. I was talking about him stepping up, having emeritus status, and leaving the day-to-day grunt work to somebody like an Eric Spoelstra, who's a future Hall of Famer himself and a direct protege of Pat Riley. I would never sit up there and talk about how somebody like Pat Riley just needs to go away because he's a treasure to the game, worthy of a statue, worthy of so much more because of what he's meant to the game. And what he's meant to me personally. So I just wanted to say congratulations to Pat Riley. It is well deserved. I love this man. I revere this man. Profound respect for him for all he has meant to sports and to the game of basketball and what he's meant to me personally. Very few people in life deserve the accolades that he has received. But he has received it throughout his life because, damn it, he deserves it. congratulations to him, and congratulations to the Los Angeles Lakers for taking time and effort to recognize what he meant and what he still means and will forever mean to that franchise. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. PK Soupon up next, and then your phone calls, and then some coming up. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.